Hebrews said that the body of Christ was the veil. What do you mean the veil? Remember, the veil was torn, his body was broken, giving us access to the Father. Amen. And Jesus, the night he was betrayed, took bread, broke it, gave it to his disciples. He said, when you eat this, do this in remembrance of me. Amen. You know, when I read Isaiah, you know, it reads, you know, the Bible says that his visage, his countenance was so marred, they couldn't recognize him. And they thought to themselves, my God, what has he done for God to put this type of punishment on him? But then Isaiah gets it right, and he says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Lord Jesus, this morning, with thanksgiving in our hearts and remembrance of you, we thank you for all you did at Calvary. And we remember you this morning, Lord, as the Lamb of God who still takes away the sin of the world, as the immerser, baptizer in the Holy Spirit, as our high priest interceding for us right now, and as our soon coming King. With thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you, we take and eat of your body. Hallelujah. You ready? On three. One, two, three. L'chaim means to life. Amen. And the Bible says that life is in the blood, and Jesus at Calvary poured out his life that we could be partakers of that life. Jesus said, now listen to me, Jesus actually said, I come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. And he was talking about a life in right relationship with the Father and the Son. You can have as much of God as you're willing to put into that relationship. Amen? I mean, all of us that's been married understand that our relationships between husbands and wives are much better when we put effort into that relationship. Amen? I told a young man here a couple years ago, we went to a Cleveland Indians baseball game. Remember when that Pokemon game was all the rage? You're walking and looking on your phone. And this guy was in front of us, and he was playing that game, and he had this pretty young girl with him, and she was just walking. And I said, we stopped at the corner. I said, "Hey, buddy, what?" I said, "Is that pretty girl with you?" "Yeah." I said, "Well, why don't you put that phone in your pocket and hold her hand?" "Yeah, listen to that guy. Listen to this guy." He said, "But I took her to a game." I said, "She don't want a game. She wants your time. And he reluctantly put that phone in his pocket and grabbed her by the hand. You know, see, that conversation could go either way. See, Jesus came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. But you have to put some effort into that relationship with God. You have to give God some time. Amen. Hallelujah. We also know this cup represented the fourth cup in the betrothal process, when a young couple were engaged. And the bride, there were four cups of wine, and the bride-to-be would drink of that fourth cup, and it sealed her decision. She was, by drinking that fourth cup, she was saying her groom-to-be, that she would remain faithful until he comes. So this cup represents that fourth cup for you and I. As we drink this cup, we're telling the Lord Jesus we will remain faithful until he comes. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. We praise you for what you've done in our lives. And it's in remembrance of you this morning that we drink of your life. Hallelujah. And my buddy Bernie has got offering envelopes. Hallelujah. When I get out of the proper sequence of a service, I've been known to forget the offering. Okay? But now I have seen this. Faithful tithers always remind me, take up the offering. The stingy ones, they don't say anything. Okay? Hallelujah. Well, it's Mother's Day. I'll just let you know straight up, I'm not ashamed of it at all. Am I on? You ready? I'm not ashamed of it at all. I'm a mama's boy. Okay? You know, for the first 5 years of my life, it was me. And I can remember going to King's Drive-In. How many of you remember King's up the road here? Going to King's, and mom would get a foot long. She'd get a root beer, and I'd get a baby root beer, a little one. And she'd split that hot dog with me. So for 5 years, it was just almost 5 years, just me and mom. And then my little brother had to come along, you know. But that was okay, because when he came, I got to go to grandma's and stay a few extra days. So it's always a plus to go to grandma's, okay. Except Mike would beat me up every now and then, but you know there. But anyway, I want to thank God for all you mothers. Amen. And as I was meditating on Mother's Day, and I love Mother's Day, I don't care for Father's Day too much, because I have a great father, one of the best fathers anybody could ever have, and I'm very thankful for him. But I wasn't all the best father I should have been, you know, so I have a few regrets. But Mother's Day, I have no regrets, because I'm nobody's mom, but I am somebody's son. Amen. Hallelujah. So as I was meditating on this message, you know, there's a scripture in Proverbs chapter 31. And we'll read that here in just a minute, as soon as Bernie gets finished with the offering there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I was reading this scripture in Psalms 31. So why don't you turn there? Page 840 if you got a Bible like mine. If you don't have a Bible like mine, you want one, let me know. So, Proverbs 31, verse 10. It says in verse 10, 840. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far from rubies, her heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hand to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. When I was meditating over this, a couple things jumped out at me. Man, this woman is described here as very dedicated to her family, is she not? But she's also a strong woman, a woman that can take care of her children, work, you know, like we do today. Strength was one of the things that jumped out at me. In Hebrew, the word for mother is this word, Ima, or Im, Aleph, and a Mem. And the ancient pictograph of the Aleph, remember my ox head, I can't draw very well? Let's give you some eyes. Okay, and this one is water. Okay, those are waves, or it could be sharks, I guess. But I'm pretty sure they're waves. Now, in ancient times, they would take animal skins and they would boil them, and it would make a thick glue-like mixture. So the idea of a mother in Hebrew, also Ima, was a much like Abba is a term of endearment for daddy, Ima was a term of endearment for a mama. Am I right, Cindy?
I think so.
Yeah. So, but M, the pictograph described strong water, or we could say glue, because we can honestly say, most of us in here can say, that mom was the glue that held the house together. Amen. And if you look at our society over the last 60 years, there's been a lot of moms that have raised the children without fathers. It's been moms that's held the house together. I know a mother right now, you know, we've known her for, well, I don't know, 12, 14 years now. She don't weigh 100 pounds wringing wet. And she had, how many kids? They got four. She had four kids. Her husband, he works 3 months, and then he goes on a drug binge, and then he's laid off for 3 months, you know. But she has maintained that house through all that nonsense. I mean, it's so bad several times I said, I will pay your attorney fee. Get rid of this guy. She never would do it, and she managed to keep all her children together. Amen. One of them's married and has a baby, happily married. Another one works for the sheriff, and he's in the National Guard. And the other one that's close to Caleb's age, he just took his military service test and scored one of the highest scores that anybody's ever scored on that test. He's just a junior, but they wanted him to come now, you know. But it was that mom. When I look back at the last 14 years, it was that mother, that 90-pound skinny woman with type 1 diabetes that went to work every day that maintained that house. And when I looked, I was meditating on this strong, you know, women being strong. And I just began to think of my own family. And all my aunts and my grandmother, you know, I've seen my aunts, my Aunt Diane, my Aunt Helen, work and raise their children, you know, and be able to maintain that home. I've seen my grandmother, my grandpa died when my brother or my dad and his brother were boys, but grandma maintained that home, maintained those boys. And even though they're not perfect, that'd be Uncle George and Dad, even though they're not perfect, they're still pretty good, you know. So we have a lot to be thankful for when it comes to women, you know. And I like this idea that mothers are the glue that holds the family together. Amen. So I did a little search. After I meditated on my family, and I thought of all the aunts in my family, and I actually listed all of them here. I had Aunt Helen, Aunt Diane, my Aunt Edna. My Aunt Edna used to come to my rescue with my cousin Bob. He was in the Marines. Now, you got to remember, my mom's 18 out of 19, so she had nieces and nephews as old or older than her. And I remember my cousin Bob, he was in the Marines, and you know, I was just a little guy, and he'd make me stand at attention. You know? Come on, soldier, stand at attention. Man, I'd stand there because he scared me, you know? He's barking out the same orders that some drill sergeant had been barking at him. And then Aunt Edna had come to me, right before the tears had come, Aunt Edna had come to my rescue. Robert, leave him alone, you know? So, but anyway, as I thought about my Aunt Edna, my Aunt Louise, my Aunt Anna Marie, and Aunt Irma, and Aunt Jan, Aunt Betty, and I thought of my Grandma Wise and Mom White, my other grandma, I got to thinking, and I thought, you know what? This idea of a strong woman fits, because there's not a wimpy woman in my family tree. But when I start thinking about the guys in my family tree, there are a few wimps in that family tree, okay? If I can just be totally honest, but for the women in my family tree, there's no wimps. Now, I think all these guys would agree with me. It was up to us to have children. Wouldn't be near as many of them. We don't make good patients. Women can withstand more pain than any man. I'm telling you, it's the truth. I was in a hospital once with a kidney stone, and I sent my wife home crying. I didn't mean to. I just got aggravated because of the pain, you know. And I've felt bad ever since, and she has not let me forget that, okay? All right. So anyway, I got to looking on the internet, and I found a couple people that were very interesting to me. They were women. Just to make my point, and I'll make it quickly this morning, that there are strong women all throughout history. And I found one named Florence Nightingale. And I suppose if you're a nurse, everybody knows who Florence Nightingale was, right? This is what I found out about her. It said her dedication to her profession and to her co-patriots saved many soldiers' lives during the Crimean War and brought about big changes in the nursing profession. To her, nursing was not a job, but a devotion. Now, let me tell you something about her. She was born in 1820. She lived to 1910. During her life, women were second-class citizens. For a woman in those days to be strong and to have a voice, they really had to be strong. Here's a quote from her. "Were there none who were discontented with what they have, the world would never reach anything better." And for her to say something like that in the era that she grew up in, that is powerful. Then I found another woman. I don't know if you all have ever heard of this woman, Marie Curie. Have you heard of her? Ah, she was a scientist and an inventor. She played a huge part in developing the X-ray machine, and she was the first female who was awarded the Nobel Prize. She won actually two, one she shared with her husband and one she won on her own. She said this, "Life is not easy for any of us, but what of that? We must have perseverance and above all confidence in ourselves. We must believe that we are gifted for something and that this thing, at whatever cost, must be obtained." Amen. Wow. And then there's Mother Teresa. Selfless and dedicated, she was selfless and dedicated her whole life to serving the poor. And she was awarded the Nobel Prize in 1979. She left this quote with us, "Spread love everywhere. Everywhere you go, let no one ever come to you without leaving happier." And I thought about my own self there. It's like, man, I don't know. You know, I don't think everybody that's ever run into me has left happier. Or better. And I looked up one more. Clara Barton. Y'all know who she was? And you ladies are on it. She was a gifted teacher and founder of the New Jersey Public Schools. She founded the American Red Cross after she worked for the International Red Cross during the Civil War. She also dedicated herself to helping others. She said, "The patriot blood of my father was warm in my veins." And then there's many more. Amelia Earhart, Helen Keller. We could go on and on. But we're in church today, so I've got to find you a couple biblical moms to talk about. Turn with me to Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. One of the things that I'm so thankful for is that I had a godly mother who never stopped praying for me. I thanked her this morning for praying for me. She said, I still pray for you. I said, I still need it, Mom. I still need it. Verse 26, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. I want to talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus. We're not going to worship her like some churches do, but there is a lesson from her life that we can learn from. Verse 26 says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Yeshua," or Jesus. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible.' Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." For Mary to become pregnant without being married, she could have been stoned to death. Matter of fact, her husband Joseph thought about putting her away privately without making a big to-do, just breaking off the engagement. And the angel of the Lord spoke to him. But Mary knew the consequences. Being raised in a Jewish home, I'm sure she understood the consequences. Yet, when it came right down to it, her answer to the angel was, I'm going to paraphrase this, "Not my will, but your will be done." Amen. Amen. Yes. Turn with me to Matthew's Gospel real quick. Mary was willing to do God's will no matter the cost. Turn with me to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, page 1321. We'll start in verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be called and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." Can you imagine? Put yourself in the 21st century. You know, we can take the word "take up your cross," that phrase, and we can make a metaphor out of it in the 21st century. Because we don't see the roads lined with people who have been crucified. But for Jesus to say that to his disciples, a group of men who were under Roman oppression, a group of men who've seen people crucified on a daily basis, that would have been a very, very hard saying. You know, here we say, "Well, take up your cross and follow Jesus." Well, all right, I'll go in once a month. I'll take my cross and I'll go in once a month and I'll sweep the church and I'll take out the trash. We'll take it if that's what you want. But for these disciples, taking up the cross was something major. They were going to have to take on the will of God rather than their will. Amen. Amen. And you know what? In this life, there are times, there are situations where we have an opportunity to continue to serve God, take up our cross, do the hard thing, but it might be the right thing to do. Amen. Amen? Or we can take the easy way out. Amen? You with me? You understand what I'm saying without going into great detail there? Okay. So when Jesus is in the garden, finds himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, what does he say? He prays. The Bible says that he prayed so hard that his pores, drops of blood came out his pores. But at the end, he said, "Let this cup pass from me." But in the end, Jesus said, "Not my will, but your will be done." I think his mother had an influence on him. Amen. Just like my mother's had an influence on me. Just like all my aunts have had an influence on me in my life. I tell you, I thank God for my family. Amen. But I'm going to say it again. There's no wimpy women in my family. Women are tougher than men. Yeah. I'm just saying. Oh, we could probably beat most of you up. I said most. You know. But you're tougher. You put up with more stuff. I almost said a nasty word. You put up with more stuff. And you still sometimes manage to put a smile on your face and still take care of your families. I praise God for strong women and the influence they've had, not only in my life, but in the history of the world. One more woman I want to show you. Turn with me to 1 Samuel. I had a bunch of other scriptures there, but you get the gist of it. It's Mother's Day. I want to get you out of here. You won't beat the Baptist to the chicken house, but... Turn to 1 Samuel. That'd be page 361. We'll come down here. Chapter 1, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Let's go to verse 2. We'll skip over all those tough names. This is talking about Elkanah. He's the husband here. Verse 2. And he, Elkanah, had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, or Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah, or Peninnah, had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also, the other wife, provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Now the Bible says that Hannah, or Hannah, put up with this year after year after year. Doesn't tell us how many years, but the idea is this happened a lot more than just one time. Verse 8. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their home at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. In Hebrew, the word remember means to act on behalf of. Amen? So God remembered her. He acted on her behalf. He opened her womb. But I'll keep your finger right there and go over to chapter 3. She's going to have a son. His name's going to be Samuel. It says, Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. The word of the Lord was very rare. A prophetic word was even more rare. In other words, Israel, like Hannah, was barren. This is the thing I like about Hannah's prayer. Because I believe that God, his heart, was barren. Because Israel was not listening to his word. There was no voice in Israel. And I believe God allowed Hannah's womb to be closed in order to develop the same heart that God had. Her barrenness imitated or reflected the barrenness of God for the nation of Israel. And when she finally got to that point where she said, if you'll give me a son, I'm going to dedicate him to you. He will serve you. Amen. The name Samuel means God hears or God heard. So that's why she named him Samuel. Amen. But you can see year after year after year after year, she went up and prayed. Most of us pray once or twice and forget about it. A lot of us were taught that if you pray more than one time, then you don't have any faith. However, if you turn to Luke 18, page 1424, verse 1. Then he, Jesus, spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Hannah is a picture of someone who was consistent and persistent in her prayers. Amen. She fully trusted God. You know, after 2 years, you would think, just give it up. That's what her husband basically was saying. Yeah. I love you more than anybody else. I'm doing more for you than 10 sons would do for you. Yeah. However, God found a heart to match his heart. Amen. And God, through that heart, God raised up a voice, Samuel.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. So, you know, you never know. You never know when God's waking you up to pray. You never know what God's trying to get out of you. Somebody say amen or oh me. But these two women, I read you a long list of strong women. I have lots of strong women in my family. But I read you about two women in the Bible. And there's many more women in the Bible.
Yes.
There's Jael. I like Jael. I mean, I wouldn't want to be married to her. Because if you know anything about Jael, you know, she drove a tent peg through the head of old Sisera. So she was strong. She was tough, you know. And Deborah was the leader of Israel at that time, Deborah. Yeah. So I'm very thankful to God this morning for all the strong women in my life. And I hope that you all have a very blessed day this morning. And I hope that at the end of this day, all you mothers will be able to say, I was truly blessed today. And my children truly are a gift from God. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Mm-hmm. You are blessed. Ladies, thank you. Thank you for putting up with us men. Okay? Now, I'm not saying you don't drive us crazy sometimes. Okay? All right? Or that you were at fault. But this is Mother's Day, so we're going to keep it all on the upswing. All in the positive area. Amen? Stand up with me. See, you're out way early today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you. There is none like you. And Father, I just thank you for our mothers. I thank you for the women who have held their families together, been the strong glue, the strong water. Father, I thank you for all you've done and all you're going to do in this congregation. And Father, I just pray you bless these, your people, Bless them spiritually, physically, financially, and emotionally. Bless them in every area of their life. And be with our mothers today, Lord, as they have a blessed day. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen.